Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Good morning, church. Доброго ранку. Good morning in Ukrainian. It is so good to be here again. Does anybody remember me from, say, 6 years ago? Few people here. Wonderful. So glad to see you here and glad to see new people too. So we're just getting set up here for a moment. Sitting down. Here we go. We're going to sit. There we go. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here in Crete, Radiant Springs Church. And Father, I just pray for your anointing and your grace this morning as we share, and we just pray that your name would be glorified through our story and through all that you've done in our lives. And Father, we just bless your name. We just invite your presence here. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, so we usually sit on the other side of each other, so it's like, this is kind of... Well, I'm Judy, as Cousin Brent said, and just really glad for this opportunity to share our hearts and what God is doing. Last time I was here, I was very, very, very single and didn't even know this guy existed yet, and so we'll share part of that story today. Praise God. Where to start? I was 3 when I gave my heart to the Lord. My dad, as he said, was a pastor. And I grew up hearing the word of God. I grew up hearing about Jesus every Sunday and in between because I lived in the pastor's home. And so we learned the word of God from an early age. And I was 3 when I gave my heart to the Lord, and I've been his girl ever since. And I was 3 when I knew I wanted to be a nurse when I grew up, and I became a nurse, and then eventually a nurse practitioner, a nurse midwife. Thank you. It was beautiful. And then along the way, I thought I would have a family and a husband and children and all those kind of things, but that just didn't seem to be ever happening. Well, one night in an incredible prayer meeting in my church in Alaska, I was born here in North Dakota, then we moved to Alaska when I was 11. One night in an incredible prayer meeting there, the presence of God was really, really, really strong. And very clearly, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Judy, what do you want for me?" At that time, I thought the only person that had ever experienced that was King Solomon. And if you know the story of King Solomon, he was David's son. And early in his life as a king, God appeared to him in dreams and said, "What would you like me to do for you? What do you want from me?" And he asked for wisdom. And I had always thought that was the most amazing answer because, you know, what do you ask for when God asks that kind of a question of you? At that time, I thought he was the only one. I've since realized he's asked me. But also, you know, Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you need? What do you want?" He asked the lepers. He asked many people, "What do you need? What do you want from me?" Has he asked you? What would you say? Well, that night, in the incredible presence of God, I heard him say, "Judy, what do you want from me?" And I was thinking, of course, first on my list was a husband. I was so single. And I was in my mid-30s, and I was going, "God, I need a husband. I need my man." And then as I was sitting there, I realized that's not what I needed more than anything else. That was not what I needed most. Because that week I'd been reading about King Solomon again, and it caught my attention like never before how his life ended much more disastrously than it started. In fact, he did not finish well, which shocked me. I had never really caught that before. In fact, he ends up, it says in 1 Kings 11, he ended up offering sacrifices to idols, Molech, Chemosh, Ashtaroth. These were idols from the local people around them. He had married many, 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 many wives, 1,000 were in his harem, and they had introduced these idols, and he built altars for them, places of worship for his wives, and he himself began to follow those traditions, which means he was offering up burnt offering of children. I was horrified. I thought, how could this be? I'm a nurse midwife delivering lots of babies, and helping bring life into the world. And here he was offering children as burnt offerings. I was just sickened. I was horrified. I thought, how could this be? How could this amazing, wise king go from being the wisest man outside of Jesus Christ ever, with more influence than anyone ever, more wealth, more wives, more everything, the most opportunity to end well out of anybody that's ever lived outside of Jesus Christ, and yet he didn't finish well. And that just grieved me. I thought, God, if he couldn't finish well, what chance do I have to finish well? How could he go from worshiping God to worshiping idols? And that really gripped my heart that week. And so here I was, presence of God, very strong, very sweet. Judy, what do you want from me? And I realized what I needed more than anything else was a heart that would choose to stay tender to God, a heart that would stay tender to God, a heart that would say yes to God, no matter what. Because God had spoken to me earlier and showed me that if I would say yes to him, I never had to worry about the outcome. I never had to try to control the outcomes, the circumstances, the consequences, because they were his. If I was obedient, he provided the results. And so that night I said, yes, that's what I asked for. And the next question was, Judy, how about missions? I was going, missions? As a nurse midwife, I loved my life. I loved delivering babies. I loved taking care of women. And God had given me a gift. He had blessed me. He had blessed my practice there with the doctor. And things were incredible in our community. And yet I knew that this was God. And so I said, yes. And then he said, how about Russia? And so that's how I ended up in that part of the world. And that was in 1997 already. It's almost 20 years ago that he began this process of the very clear calling. Within 8 weeks, I was in Russia on my first trip. Within two days after that, I was studying Russian language, and a year later, going back again and going, God was just burning something in me for missions and for that part of the world, the Slavic world. And within another year, I was in seminary studying for full-time ministry and going through the process of letting go of my midwifery life and all that that meant, and saying yes to God, saying yes to God, saying yes to God. And that, saying yes to God, has led me into full-time missions. I've been overseas since 2005. I studied Russian language in Russia for 2 years, and I've been in Ukraine, based in Ukraine, since 2007, doing ministry as a medical provider. I couldn't do direct medical care, but I got to work with a mobile medical clinic and doing outreaches all over Ukraine, teaching about HIV and AIDS all over the former Soviet Union, many of the countries, because we have a massive epidemic, and working with rehab centers. A lot of it's been through IV drug use and heroin addiction and things like that. And so that led me into working with Teen Challenge the last 4 years directly. A lot of influence with Teen Challenge, and they became my family, and really amazing things happening. And then that led to a whole bunch of young women seeking relationship and looking for mentoring. Here I was, almost 50, then turning 50, and still very single, but with a story that God had taken from my great brokenness as a single and the pain that that was for me because of how desperately I wanted to be married and have a family. He took that and used it to bring life into a lot of lives, and how he's taken my story and used it, gave me an incredible platform with young people talking about how to live pure, how to choose to say yes to God and things like that. And so I've done a lot of mentoring and a lot of discipleship with young people. About 3-4 years ago, I was sitting having coffee one morning, and this is the very short form of it. And I was having coffee with God and my Bible and my chair in the corner. And God and I had had quite a few talks over the last 6 months of that time period. I had fallen into deep self-pity. My sister had gotten married, and here I was turning 50 and still single. And she was 3 years younger than me and got to get married. And it was her first marriage, and she was 47. And I was happy for her, but I was also violently jealous and didn't even recognize it. And, well, not violently. There were no blows. But just the self-pity that gripped me was really... It blinds you. Self-pity is blinding. It's deceptive, and it keeps you from seeing the truth. And I fell deep into the murky, murky pit of self-pity, and God woke me up to that the night of her wedding and showed me it's actually a demonic influence. I just literally snapped me out of it. But it took months of retraining my mind and thought patterns, choosing to be thankful, choosing thankfulness over and over and over daily. Pastor Brent talking about what are you thankful, finding something to be thankful for. And that was the treatment. That was the way to retrain my heart and thoughts, because I was so filled with self-pity. Oh, you poor girl, you poor, blah, 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 blah. Here, have another Kleenex, that kind of thing. Well, in that process, here I was 6 months later, and that morning I was sitting in my chair, and I said, God, my hope list is completely empty. I don't see anybody on this side of the world or that side of the world that is a potential husband for me. Do what you want with my heart. My heart is yours. And literally an hour later, I got an email from our church and the news of the week, every week that came on Fridays. And here they were talking about this guy, Volodymyr Rubin, who had just been made the head usher, greeter, bouncer guy, big, tall, strong guy. And I thought, is this that guy that's been circling me? Because for 2 years, he'd been introducing himself every week. Hello, my name is Volodya. Hello, my name is Volodymyr. Hello, my name is Vova. He used all the names he goes by. Vlad, all of them. And he wanted to talk to me, and I was going, why does he want to talk to me? I was clueless. I was so clueless. He knew at least a year in advance that he was planning to marry me, and I had no clue. I was just, I would have all my girls coming up to talk to me and say, keep talking to me. And he would wait 15, 20 minutes on a Sunday to talk to me, and I would just, oh, I was awful. I didn't see it the way God showed me later, how rude it was. But then I got to recognize and I got to ask for forgiveness for being so rude and so cold and so hard-hearted, because God began to break my heart and show me that he had an answer for this prayer that had been prayed for a lot of years, but I'd been unwilling to see it. I couldn't see what God was offering me until God began to open my eyes as we dealt with that self-pity that was so nasty. And so it's a long story. No need for all the details. Let's just say that God did miracles. 4 days before our wedding was supposed to happen in July of 2014, he was really, really sick and nearly died and lost a leg in the process. Ukrainian medicine is not what it is here. There's bribery and injustice and all kinds of things involved in the story, and the fact that he would not pay a bribe and the doctors would not treat him without one, that kind of a thing. And just what God has done, how God has given us his grace and his comfort, and the sweetest, sweetest comfort in the middle of a very hard time. And the grace of God covering so much. God showing me what I needed to know in a place like that. Just his comfort that was so incredibly precious. Night after night in the middle of very tough days, very tough times. Just his sweet, sweet presence and comfort. I'm very grateful for that. We got married a month later, and with God's great blessing and joy. And so we're continuing on in ministry. His story, he's going to share it. But let me just ask, how precious is your Bible to you? How many do you have? Think about it. What would you do if you didn't have access? The Word of God is powerful. Religion isn't enough. We're going back to Ukraine, which is a religious country. They've known Christianity for 1,000 years. You're automatically Orthodox by birth. And so if you ask somebody if they're a believer, oh, of course, I'm Orthodox because I was born here, you know, kind of a thing. But it doesn't mean that they have any knowledge of God or any relationship with God or a sense, you know, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? Oh, I've been good. Have you been good enough? Yeah, I've been good enough. Have you ever stolen, lied, whatever? Well, yeah, but I've been good. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one that can earn their way to heaven. Good works are not enough. Paying enough money is not enough. Putting gold on the temple, cathedral, bell towers is not enough. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. But what if you'd never gotten to hear that story? Let's show our video, and then we'll hear his story.
Ukraine has become a very strategic place in the world right now. There's a lot of activity going on. There's a lot of news about it. People who've never heard of Ukraine are suddenly very aware of Ukraine as a country and the people themselves. But right now, there's a rising sense of we are Ukrainian. We're people of value. We're people of worth. We're ready for the right things to happen. This has become an amazingly important window of time God has opened up for us to be able to do the things that He wants us to do.
And Jesus Christ, He said, open your eyes and look at this harvest. This harvest so plentiful, I will be equipped you for this harvest with everything.
Jesus says it clearly, my Father's will is that all should come to know Him. My Father's will is that none should perish. That's why we're there. And we're anticipating a harvest of joy. There's joy in God's kingdom when people come to know Him. There's joy in our hearts as we look at the opportunity to go back. There's joy in serving Jesus in a place that has been known for great harvest of bread, but we want to see a great harvest of lives.
Ми запрошуємо вас цю радісну подорож до України.
Before he shares his story, I just want to say, please pick up our prayer cards. They're in the back. Our contact information is on the back. Prayer needs on the back. There's even this funny little code that if one day you're going, oh, I'd love to send them folks some money, there's a way to do it, okay? And our contact information. Also, we have an iPad in the back if you'd like to receive our electronic newsletter by email. You can sign up on the iPad in the back. And we'll tell about Borscht in a bit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, church. God is good every time and everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How I remember, Pastor, he has three sons. And big in his yard, he has a big sacrificial place for
barbecue.
He's got the smokehouse.
It smells very good.
We were listening.
And his beautiful wife. Thank you very much, George, for this invitation. Nice, so nice to be here. Ну, я по всему вижу, що нам придеться, ми приглашаємо вас всіх в Україну.
We invite everybody to Ukraine.
І я вижу, ми продовжимо розговор там далі.
And we'll continue our conversation there, okay?
Мені дуже багато є, що сказати.
I have so much I want to say and share today.
В Україні, обычно, коли борщ готов, і він гарячий, вже то слышно, всі слышать запах этот, і всі садяться за стол обязательно.
But in Ukraine, if everybody could know that borscht was hot and ready to eat, and you could smell it like we smell it right now, who could dare talk long?
Потому что жили обычно, дом состоял из одной большой комнаты, где стоял большой стол.
In
a
typical Ukrainian home, the table would be the central place of the home, and there'd be a little room around it and stuff, but that table was the most important place.
И если бы хозяева начинали долго говорить с гостями или с кем-то, они садились за стол, то почти начинали думать, что что-то неправильно с хозяином.
And if you just sat and talked and talked and talked without sitting around the table, they would wonder what was wrong with you.
В Україні все зовсім по-другому, чим в Америці.
Things in Ukraine are different than they are in America.
Так що я щаслив вдвойне.
And so here I am, torn in two parts.
You welcome in Ukraine. You can find something more joy. Are you happy?
Yes.
Amen. You're welcome in Ukraine. You're welcome in Europe. We need you. Hallelujah. Ну, я бы мог немножко рассказать о себе, как Бог вошел в мою жизнь, о чем я совершенно не мог даже подумать. В 33 года я принял Иисуса Христа как своим Господом и Спасителем на собрании, когда Советский, это в то время, когда Советский Союз распался, и евангелисты приехали в Украину.
I'd love to share this morning how God has worked in my life ever since I was a little boy, but I couldn't even understand it until I was older. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 33 years old, at the time that the Soviet Union fell apart, communism failed, and everything in my life was shattered.
1991.
Everything changed.
Причина распада государства, существования государства, потому что это неверие в Бога.
And I understood at that time that the falling apart of my country and nation was because we had chosen to not believe in God.
Я родился в семье военного офицера коммуниста в Сибири.
I was born into the family of a communist army officer in Siberia. It was not even possible to consider having a conversation about God. It was forbidden.
Но у меня, когда мы переехали на Украину в 5 лет, я знал, что у меня появился дедушка, и дедушка оказал особое влияние на меня.
When I was 5 years old, my family moved from Siberia back to Ukraine where my father was from, and I found out that I had a grandfather.
И дедушка, он был верующим человеком.
My grandfather was a believer.
Но я сразу этого не понял.
But I didn't know this for years.
И один сын у моего дедушки был алкоголик, а другой
One son of my grandfather's was an alcoholic, and the other one was this communist army officer.
И я видел, что мой дедушка несчастливый с ними двумя.
But I could see that my grandfather was not happy with either one.
Позже я знал, что он был просто верующим человеком.
It was only much later that I understood that my grandfather was a believer.
Но однажды папа дал ему работу и охранять большой сад.
One day my father gave my grandfather work to do protecting a large orchard.
В это время дедушка со мной ничего не говорил, только смотрел на меня.
And at that point my grandfather had never said anything to me. He would just sit and look at me.
Задавал вопрос, ну кем же я буду, когда я вырасту?
But I could see in his eyes the question, who are you going to be?
Он не хотел, чтобы я был коммунистом, он не хотел, чтобы я был алкоголиком.
I knew he didn't want me to be a communist, nor did he want me to be an alcoholic.
Потому что я знал с самого раннего детства, что мой папа несчастливый со своим коммунизмом.
Because I could see, even as a little boy, from my earliest moments, that my father was not happy within communism.
Однажды мама сказала, что они не хотели иметь меня в семье.
One day my mother had even said to me, you know, we didn't want you in our family.
А я стоял, смотрел на маму. Мама, ну я же есть, значит, ты меня хотела.
I stood and looked at her and said, but mama, I'm already here. And I realized she was the one that had wanted me to be born.
И я уже сразу понял, что папа не хотел меня.
And I knew that my father didn't want me.
Я знал, что он несчастливый со своим идеей.
He was an unhappy man. He was unhappy in communism, although he served it faithfully.
Хотя он был очень успешным человеком, влиятельным.
He was an extremely successful. He was a well-disciplined officer, extremely successful as a leader.
Он никогда не игрался со мной.
But never once did he play with me.
Собака игрался, но со мной нет.
He would play with his dog, but he would never play with me.
И я однажды решил посетить своего дедушку на его работе, он охранял большой сад.
So one day I decided to go visit my grandfather in his little hut in the forest where he was working.
И я по дороге нарвал много яблок и решил, дедушка похвалит меня.
On the way, I passed an apple tree and took a whole bunch of apples, filling myself up with apples, and I thought, my grandfather's finally going to praise me and tell me what a wonderful boy I am.
Дедушка стоял надо мной, я увидел дедушку издалека, он идет мне навстречу, я к нему, но он стоял навстречу и смотрел надо мной.
But then as we came closer and it came time for that meeting face to face, he looked down on me.
И чтобы я никогда больше не видел, что ты берешь к этого дерева яблоко, тем
более подходишь к нему. And he finally spoke and he said, I don't ever want to see you take apples from that apple tree ever again.
Наконец-то он заговорил со мной.
I'd finally heard his voice.
Я его помню голос до сих пор.
I remember his voice to this day.
Я не мог понять, почему, дедушка, ты любишь меня.
But I couldn't understand why he said this. I thought, Grandfather, you love me. My papa gave you your work.
Я твой сыночек, твой внучок, ты
меня
любишь.
I'm your grandson, you love me.
Я не понимал до 33 лет.
But I couldn't understand until I was 33 years old what my grandfather was trying to transmit to me.
И проповедники приезжали, начинали говорить об Эдемском саде, о дереве, о котором Бог запретил говорить.
It's only when evangelists came and started speaking after the fall of communism and I heard the story of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve and a tree.
И я начал вспоминать, где-то уже было это дерево в моей жизни.
This sounds very familiar. There's been a tree like this in my life.
И какой проповедник им приезжал, всегда проповедовал с Эдемского сада, сказал, когда Бог запретил им.
I heard this story in preaching many times about the Garden of Eden and this tree.
И в Украине деревья есть, яблони, и мне все время...
And in Ukraine, there's apple trees everywhere.
Каждый раз смотрел на эту
яблоню. And so every time I looked at an apple tree, I'd think about what my grandfather had said to me.
У меня голос дедушки был все время в голове, я все время слышал его.
And to this day, I can hear my grandfather's voice in my head.
Дедушка жил на территории Украины, где проповедовалось Евангелие. Два миссионера приехало с Америки, проповедовали Евангелие.
He had lived in the territory, my grandfather, of Ukraine, where two evangelists had returned back to Ukraine after being in the States and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they brought a tremendous revival as they preached.
И верующих просто убивали там, не хотели.
But following the great revival, there was great, great persecution, and the believers were killed.
И дедушка просто открыто не мог говорить, он просто, ну,
And he could not speak openly. He wanted to bless me.
Picture number four. Но мы приехали на папа приехал на место, где мы получили новое, отец получил новое место работы.
Not long after this, my grandfather died, and we moved to a new territory where my father received work.
Это огромный православный монастырь.
It was a large Orthodox monastery.
Но я бы мог очень много вам рассказывать, как же Бог работал в моей личной жизни на протяжении 33 лет, но это просто очень много времени на это надо.
I have so many stories I could tell you how God worked in my life to that point that I was 33 years old when I heard the gospel, but it would take a lot of time.
На стенах этого монастыря я видел надпись «Иисус Христос, Спаситель всего мира, воскресший из мертвых».
But in this old monastery, in this old church, this is now as it's been restored, but in that old building, I would see on the walls «Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, risen from the dead». The stories from the Bible, Peter and his fishing, Jonah and the whale, the disciples, the stories from the Bible were painted in mosaics on these old stone walls. This is what it looked like as a little
мне
boy.
Нравилось проводить время там.
I loved to spend time in there.
Мне нравилось ходить, потому
I hated going to school.
Это обман.
I knew they were teaching me lies. But I loved being there.
Но на этом месте еще я обязательно должен рассказать эту историю. Там было озеро, где мне нравилось ловить рыбу.
But I also have to tell you this story about the little lake where I loved to catch fish.
Мне хотелось лучшую рыбу ловить.
I could catch little fish there, but I wanted to catch better fish.
Там была маленькая рыба.
All they had were little tiny fish.
Вы называли мусорной.
They actually called them trash fish, garbage fish.
И мне хотелось ловить рыбу на Аляске. Я закрывал глаза, я ловлю рыбу на Аляске.
But I wanted to catch better, bigger fish, so I closed my eyes and I just imagined myself catching fish in Alaska.
Открывая глаза, я снова ловлю рыбу на Украине.
So I closed my eyes, there was in Alaska. I opened my eyes, there I am back in Ukraine catching little fish.
Снова закрывая глаза, я на Аляске.
Closed my eyes again, back in Alaska, catching fish. Open my eyes back in Ukraine, catching little fish.
Собой, знаю,
I didn't know what to do with myself. I knew if I closed my eyes, I'd be in Alaska catching fish.
Как я попаду на Аляску, я не знал.
I thought, how can I ever go to Alaska? I had no idea.
Аляску продали Америке.
Alaska had been sold to America.
Сибирь я не хотел, туда отправляли бесплатно.
I could go to Siberia for free. Exile. I didn't want that.
Ну, потом позже мы с Джуди познакомились в церкви.
It's only much later when I met Judy in church.
И Джуди говорит, она, папа у нее пастор, и вся христианская семья.
And she was saying that her dad was a pastor, and her family were believers. I thought, oh, this is good.
Ну, это хорошо, ну, я рад. Я, наконец-то, попал в правильное окружение.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Куда мы не поедем сейчас, кругом родственники.
And now when we're traveling everywhere, we see relatives everywhere. Everybody knows Judy.
Ну, однажды Джуди сказала, что она с Аляски.
But one day, Judy said she was from Alaska.
И я потерялся.
I lost my ability to speak.
Это никогда такого со мной не было, чтобы я потерял возможность
говорить. And it had never occurred to me when I lost my ability to speak.
Я понял, что Бог что-то больше делает в моей жизни.
I understood that God was doing something greater in my life than I could have even dreamed of.
Такая прекрасная рыбка приплыла с Аляски в Украину.
What kind of a wonderful fish had come from Alaska to Ukraine?
Но Джуди всю эту историю мою не знает.
Of course, Judy had no idea about the story in my life.
Я ей сказал позже потом.
I told her later.
Бог уже все решил.
God had already decided.
Но Джуди еще этого не знает. Она
смотрит на меня. But Judy didn't know that God had already decided this, and she was still trying to make up her mind.
Но однажды я зашел в зал, и Евангелие пришло. Миссионер один приехал в Америку, он проповедовал Евангелие.
One day I went into a theater to hear a speaker, and he was preaching the gospel.
И он сказал, как много людей страдало из-за того, что они не отреклись от имени Иисуса Христа.
And he shared that day about how many people had suffered and died because they refused to renounce the name of Jesus Christ.
И он сказал, как только единственный путь отношения с Богом.
And he shared that the only way to God was through Jesus Christ, the Son.
И он пригласил людей, все, кто хочет покаяться, выйти наперед.
And he invited those who wanted to repent to come forward for salvation.
Это была суббота, и тысячу людей вышло.
And it was on a Saturday, 1,000 people came forward for salvation that day.
Я пришел в воскресенье, это повторилось.
I came back on
самое.
Sunday, it happened again. Again, 1,000 people responding to this message.
У меня желание первое было посмотреть зал, кому надо помочь.
Even as I was coming forward to receive salvation myself, I was looking around to see who else I could help.
Я посмотрел в зал, там сидело несколько людей, они улыбались.
And I turned to see who was still sitting down. There was just a handful of people, but they were smiling and full of joy.
Я понял, что они приняли Иисуса Христа.
And I understood that they had already received Jesus Christ.
Я опоздал.
At that time, there was no joy anywhere. In Ukraine.
Но я пришел потом в понедельник, это третий день, но уже ничего не было.
I came back on Monday, the third day, but
я
the
не
door
мог понять,
was closed. Своего,
почему?
There wasn't a servant. I thought,
мне
why
казалось,
not?
Это каждый день будет повторяться.
I was ready to come back to church every day.
Но я начал искать пастора, где
I
же
began
пастор,
to try find the pastor
мне,
I wanted to spend time with him and learn from him.
Но он жил где-то далеко.
But he lived far away from where this was. This was a theater.
Если бы я знал, что он где-то рядом живет, как у вас обычно пастыря, они недалеко живут.
If I had known that he lived in a parsonage close to church, like often happens here in the States, he would never have gotten rid of me.
Я бы нашел бы его, он от меня никуда не делся.
I would have found him, and he would never have been able to shake me off.
И я каждый день посвятил себя служению Господу Иисусу Христу.
But from that point on, I just followed Christ. That was the turning point in my life. Everything had been destroyed, but God, the day I found Jesus Christ, became a new life for me, and it became my life.
And I committed my life to serve to Jesus Christ, evangelization by one and one by school, another Bible school, seminary, and then my nice fish.
Иисус, 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 я промовляю снов и снов. Иисус, 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 твоя любовь. Иисус, 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 я промовляю снов и снов. Иисус, 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 твоя любовь. This is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I proclaim your name over and over. The one who loves me, the one I love. Sing it with us.
Snow is snow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Твоя любовь. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Я промовляю снов. Иисус, 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 твоя любовь. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about
that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something